evening, we're going to be taking up the issue of bylaws and elections at Pacifica and specifically at WBAI. And with us, we've got four people who've been very, very active in this regard. In the studio with us, we have Christian Lemoyne and Margaret Dominique, well, two people who you heard from just a little while ago, yesterday, as a matter of fact, doing work regarding Haiti and participating in a very informative program on Haiti. But aside from that and the work that they do around Haiti, they are also deeply involved in the issue of bylaws and elections. And on the line with us, we have Joe Kay and Montu Matsimela, two people who have also been very active in regards to this issue of bylaws and elections. Well, good evening to all of you.
Good evening, good evening, Garcia.
Good evening.
Yeah. And good evening to all the listeners.
All the listeners out there in the WBAI land.
Yeah. Well, what I want to do first is I know each of you brings a differing perspective to this whole issue of bylaws and elections, and I just want to hear briefly from each person, why did you get involved and why have you been involved consistently in this issue? First, we're going to start in the studio with, well, let's start with Margaret.
Well, Basir, I got involved with this election bylaw committee issue because I want to make sure that WBAI is inclusive of all the different communities within the New York area. And also, I was witnessing, from a listener point of view, the coup that had taken place in the station, and I was very disheartened that people were excluded from all levels of the organization. So I feel that I have to contribute to help Pacifica keep up with its mission, and its mission is to reflect the community that it serves. That's why I got involved, to make sure that the process is done correctly.
Mm-hmm. And Christian?
Well, obviously, much like Margaret, because both of us belong to the Haiti Collective on WBAI, I think our interests are really parallel and coincided and with the whole efforts of the Unity Caucus around the constituency model to ensure that there is adequate and fair representation of oppressed minorities within the governing structures of BAI. Because pretty much the efforts of the Haiti Collective to bring a voice of Haitian concern to BAI and to address the community around these issues is kind of parallel to the whole issues of involving communities and giving communities voice. So I think it's partly a reflection of our vision of Pacifica's and BAI's mission regarding oppressed constituencies that have led us to take part in this process and really to invest the time and the resources to try to affect some change. I'm sure you're quite aware that there's been a lot of debate. And to some extent, we were talking about this earlier, the tone of the debate sometimes is one that takes people back. Why are people getting so involved and so hot under the color around issues of election and issues that once you state the case and you make the case, it seems to be like kind of a matter of fact, common sense to some extent, that some of the principles that are being advanced by the constituency model just it just makes so much good sense.
Mm-hmm.
That, why are so people, getting so huffy and puffy and trying to denounce this this model and these principles?
Mm-hmm. Joe Kay, you've been involved for quite a while, very, very intimately so, as far as the elections and bylaws, and even, of course, before that, in the struggle to regain the station, to take back control. Why did you get involved?
Well, as a long-term activist going upwards of 50 years, the last thing in the world I wanted to get involved with was bylaws. And I think most listeners would appreciate that. It's rather tedious and dull, and And what we're really concerned with is what's going on the station in terms of programming. And yet, as an activist, I'm first and foremost concerned with the state of the movement and concerned with building a movement that's really capable of finally having this country change direction. And I recognize BAI and Pacifica as a vital tool in this struggle. And I saw and I see, continue to see, that the struggles around BAI are kind of a microcosm of the struggles in the larger society and in the progressive movement generally. And particularly since I believe that racism is central to maintaining the elites maintaining its political control over this country, and that therefore the anti-racist struggle is really central to every progressive endeavor.
Joe, for some reason you're kind of breaking up a little bit. I know you're on a hardwired line. I don't know what's going on there.
What do you want me to do?
Well, you were clear just then, but let's hold on. Hopefully we're okay. Hopefully I won't have to call you back.
Should I pick up again or keep?
No, just hold on for now. You know, okay. We've been having people have been reporting strange technical goings on here at BAI. You know, something that.
Oh, well.
Many of us, of course, are very...
Well, you know, as soon as you use to say the word racism, you're going to get flack.
Yeah. Well, that may have been it, because I think when you said racism, that's when all of a sudden we started having a problem. Muntu, you as a longtime activist, all of a sudden, I shouldn't say all of a sudden, but one, being involved, of course, with the struggle around regaining, retaking WBAI and Pacifica, and then further becoming involved in this issue of the elections and bylaws. Why did you do this?
Yeah, you know, I have to agree with the various remarks that have been made by Margaret F. Christian and Joe Kay as well. I mean, my involvement, to sort of like take it from Joe Kay's analysis, really flowed from my history, and the history of our movement in the city and internationally, worldwide, and the strategic role of media in this period, the extreme importance. Obviously, within the context of the U.S., that strategic importance has to identify the Pacifica Foundation, the Pacifica Network of five radio stations around the country as having a very, very important role in this period with the consolidation of the right. It's interesting that the much of the struggle began to culminate, although it was several years long. And you know, I would just like to say that I've been a long-standing listener of BAI for a good many years and participated in various degrees. Often my focus with BAI, Pacifica, often occurred around the crises within Pacifica. That is to say, I became more energized around the need, and that was what was going on with respect to this last period. Felt that the consolidation of the right demanded, you know, and which culminated obviously in the election in November 2000 of a neo-fascist president who stole the election, interestingly enough, by disenfranchising people of African descent in the state of Florida. By looking to his Supreme Court cronies to rubber stamp that election, that coincided with the same effort to usurp, if you will, Pacifica by the right. And so when I got involved, one of the first things I remember saying at the first demonstration that I was at was, "We have to beat back the right." That was, I think, the first thing out of my mouth in a demonstration in front of the radio station downstairs, 120 Wall Street. We have to beat back the right. We have to have a victory here. And that meant that we had to, those of us activists, had to step off and take time out for whatever we were involved in and make room for our participation and need work with the Pacifica activists, programmers, producers, staff, listeners, supporters, the community in general. Furthermore, we felt there was an absolute need to broaden the base of BAI into the community where, although substantial listeners reside, still there was a need for the outreach into the community to be much more qualitative and quantitative, if you will. And so we began to set up an organization. We started the Community for Progressive Radio. We began to work much more consistently with the various organizations that were engaging and fighting to take Pacifica back, the Pacifica National Campaign, etc., in order to begin to bring the African ancestry, the Latino communities, and the various constituencies throughout New York City into the battle to retake Pacifica.
Now, I think the listeners need to just try to really understand what really is at stake here. You know, we're talking about bylaws, and there's been a long ongoing discussion and bunches of meetings and a number of things that have been taking place. Listeners have, in fact, participated, but obviously the majority of listeners are still by their radios and have not come out to these particular meetings yet. What is really at stake here when we talk about first bylaws? You know, let's just go into that a little bit, and then let's then move into the issue of elections. Christian.
Yeah, I think to start off with, it'd be a good idea to say that we are all involved in a process of democratic reform here, post-coup, post-overthrow of the coup. And it's a good idea to start off from the standpoint that there are still broad lines that people have established consensus around, such as the need for democratic reform, the need for elections as an instrument of those democratic reforms. And there is also some level of consensus, I would venture to propose, around the idea that there needs to be some level of representation of minorities ensured. And this is one of the areas where there's been a lot of controversy. You've had several models put forward which have advocated formulas that would represent some level of diversity. While I would say that the constituency model, the unity caucus model, is really advocating not diversity per se, but representation. And there's really a fundamental difference that people really should take hold between those concepts. I mean, if you look at, you know, Colin Powell, you look at, you know, Condoleezza Rice, Clarence Thomas, very few people in the oppressed black communities are going to say that these are our representatives, that, you know, these people in power are really advocating for the, you know, the rights and the interests of oppressed black people. So just, you know, their skin color or their ethnic origin, I think, is not a qualifier. So when the constituency model advocates for representation, you know, we are advocating for representation not on the basis of ethnicity or race or anything like that. We are advocating representation of oppressed constituencies as a core segment, the fundamental segment of Pacifica's and BAI's mission. I mean, it's often been said that, to paraphrase, that BAI and Pacifica, you know, the mission has been described as the voice of the voiceless. And I think that, you know, when people think about that and we try to get to the meaning behind the voice of the voiceless, we can gauge the sense that what we're fighting for really is for the representation and for the involvement of oppressed communities, giving them a voice through this particular medium. Now, just to make one more quick point, I think that there's been some differences also on the level of voting procedures and membership, and it's also one of the key areas where the different proposed models have differed. And you've had a strong advocacy, a very, very strong advocacy for models, for example, where the voters would be strictly the subscribers. Or, you know, some inclusion of folks who would be able to donate some hours of volunteer time in the station. And I think this is one of the areas where the Unity Caucus, the constituency model, takes issue at, because it's really in contradiction to some sense with this core fundamental mission. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we speak of BAI as the voice of the voiceless, I mean, nobody's going to suggest that it ought to be the voice of the subscribers or even to that extent the voice of the listeners. I mean, the mission itself says that, hey, we are out here to promote and defend causes of social popular justice and to really enable and reach out to oppressed communities and give them a voice. This is our fundamental mission. So we take issue with the fact that, you know, people in a voting process should be kind of just eligible solely on you know, $25 a year or some kind of work performance eligibility.
Well, I mean, one of the things, and I've seen in regards to several different emails, that there are obviously people who listen to WBAI who might not be able to go ahead and subscribe on that level. For instance, if we talk about homeless people, there are homeless people who go ahead and in shelters listen to WBAI. There are also prisoners, large numbers of prisoners who listen to WBAI, both here in the city and places like Rikers Island, Brooklyn House of Detention, and then upstate in some of the facilities that are still within the reach of our transmission. So there are obviously numbers of people who listen to WBAI who need to be somewhat enfranchised, but they might not be able to subscribe in the means, in the way that we normally talk about subscribers. And then again, in terms of course, doing work at the station, you know, if in fact you're in prison, you know, if you're locked down, it's going to be very difficult to go ahead and, of course, do that. Joe Kay.
Yes, sir.
Just in regards to when we speak about the bylaws, what are we really talking about? These bylaws are, and you said, of course, being an activist, this is something that you did not necessarily want to be involved in. What do these bylaws actually govern?
Well, they're simply a set of rules that will basically lay out the operating procedures, the relationship between, for example, the local stations and the national board, things having to do, of course, with elections. Certain principles we have attempted to incorporate in the bylaws, certain democratic principles having to do with representation of oppressed peoples on all levels, whether it be in management, in programming, on the local boards, governance, and so on, staff. We have been pushing to get that, for example, incorporated in bylaws. But it's generally, you might just say, the rules that indicate what procedures should be followed within the stations, the local boards, the national board, the relationship between the two boards, the relative power of the boards, the local and the national boards, etc.
Okay.
When elections will be held, what are the criterion for membership in the station? These are all part of the bylaws.
Mm-hmm. And how long now has this discussion actually been going on?
Well, it seems like about 86 years now.
I know it does feel like that, but as far as...
I'm bald now and I had hair when it started.
Well, it's been going on for at least a full year since the settlement, since the litigation settlement, which basically determined that they would be over the course of a year a whole rewriting of the bylaws. I think much concern came from the struggle to regain and recapture Pacifica from those who attempted to usurp those corporate representatives of the ruling class in the society, usurp Pacifica, redefine its mission, and to set it on a path and chart a new course for what had been the historical progressive mission of Pacifica. So bylaws which determine the very foundations of Pacifica, people felt there was now a very clear need to incorporate in the bylaws now, to rewrite and revise the bylaws in such a way as to prevent as much as possible, because we understand that what got Pacifica back to the community was a political struggle and not a piece of paper, and when in fact they come again, it will be political struggle and not the bylaws ultimately that will prevent a reoccurrence of trying to wipe out the people's media. So, but bylaws do have a purpose, and that people have, you can then use that as a legal basis to, in fact, deal with issues as they arise, and those issues that are contrary to the bylaws, that it establishes a legal basis for you to act. And so, therefore, incorporating within the bylaws as many things as necessary to prevent, again, those occurrences that threw the mission into disarray, depoliticized the programming, moved it to the right. In many cases, we saw how the exclusion of people of color, the exclusion of oppressed nationalities, the exclusion of the most disenfranchised, those that, in fact, Pacifica has long been about representing in its all of its mission. And so clearly that was there. The election procedure, which much of the battle has centered around, has to do with the fact that in order to make sure that this process again goes forward in a way that's consistent with the Pacifica mission, the last half century of Pacifica, and to advance it as far as we can take it, to advance that mission as far as it needs to be advanced, that you had to be able to elect boards that, in effect, reflected that mission. Because these boards, these new station boards, under the current guidelines, would now, in fact, have governance responsibilities, governance authority, and powers that it did not have up to this point in time. And so with this new authority, with this new perspective, the elections becomes a critical element of that. And so clearly the battle lines have been drawn around this within the context of the bylaws. The battle lines have really have been drawn around the elections process, even though there are many things inside of the bylaws that are as well very, very important.
We'd like to remind everybody you're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, listener-sponsored radio. And, well, this is your station, and one of the reasons why we're attempting to try to go ahead and have a discussion regarding this issue of bylaws and elections. Now, Margareth, being from a particular community, the Haitian community, and having listeners and then other people who are concerned about what takes place at WBAI, what are people actually in the community saying about this bylaws and elections process?
Well, the community is waiting. They know of BAI history, and the Haitian community have always been very active, and both as listeners, both on the street, went back to the station. And they want to be actively involved at BAI, not just for people at BAI to speak on their behalf, which is what people are most comfortable with when they want to give voice to a community. They want to speak on behalf of the community, but the community reserves the right to come in and talk about its own need, its own issues. So they're waiting for this change to occur. And so far what has transpired through all the meetings of the national board, as you know, that the New York lab did vote for the constituency model in spite of opposition from certain groups from the New York area. And but on the national level, three labs out of the whole Pacifica network did choose to go instead with the KPFA model, which doesn't, in my view, include representation. It's advocating more of a proportional type of election process, which is there's no guarantee that will include people of these different communities.
Mm-hmm. Now, can we talk just very briefly about these two models, the constituency model, which has been put forward by the Unity Caucus, and then the model that has to be called proportional representation? Now, I did attempt, I had attempted, well, let me say in terms of this program, first of all, some time ago, Serene Roberts suggested that I spend an hour talking about the issue of bylaws and elections, and I agreed. And since that time, we've been doing outreach to a number of people, but of course, the end of the year and the beginning of the year is kind of a difficult time. People on vacation, people doing this, that, the other. We did reach out to some people who are from the, let us say, the proportional representation camp, and they are not at this particular point available. But all of that to say, there are, in fact, two models that have been put forward here, one called the constituency model, the other the proportional representation model. Now, can we speak just briefly as to what these two models actually are? Anyone want to go ahead and take a stab? Well, first, let's talk about the constituency model.
I think one of the main strengths of the constituency model is that it is really focused on giving representation to the core constituencies of WBAI and Pacifica. And to get back to the difference between representation and diversity, I think there are really fundamental differences there. Because while the proportional representation model has formulas to ensure some level of that diversity, 50% women, 50% people of color, and they have mechanisms that even if the highest vote getters are not really guaranteeing that particular makeup, then you know they move down to the next highest candidate that would help fulfill that diversity requirement. But then again, you know, our case is that even though, you know, let's say that on a broad logical approach, definitely a proportional representation model is better than just a straightforward election in terms of meeting goals of fairness. So I think we've made some progress there. But I think one of the things that we're trying to do as a progressive medium is not only to choose something that's easy to do or something that has like convenient formulas, but we're trying to develop a model that acts as part of the overall mechanism that relates the station to its mission constituencies. And I think that's really the strength of the constituency model, because it really depends and it is determined by the outreach to the diverse communities that Pacifica, as part of its mission, wants to embrace and wants to represent. So right then and there, you have a process of outreach that is intrinsic to this to this model, and you have a process of having debates around issues that are pertinent to a broad range of constituencies. And by having debates around those issues, and by having candidates who actually take positions around these debates, you have a process of political struggle on these airwaves that is in and of itself a process of empowerment. So I think let's just give a quick rundown. I mean, you talked before about prisoners, for example. People who are going to be representing the interests and advocating for prisoners ought to have some kind of direct link to that particular situation. And I think that's really one of the things that the constituency model wants to ensure, is that there is that direct link, that direct representation, where the constituency itself is enabled and empowered to nominate and elect its representative. And that is such basic common sense to anybody who really wants to think about this, who do we want advocating for particular groups? I mean, they ought to be people who are intimately involved in the struggles of those contingencies and who have been legitimately selected by these constituencies.
Well, one of the things, and at a couple of meetings that I attended, you know, the question of proportional voting and proportional representation. You know, people go ahead and put forward proportional representation. As a matter of fact, in New York State, not only New York State, but New York City, and the way school boards were elected, they used proportional voting. And when the assembly attempted to try to go ahead and move and change that particular process, which was unwieldy and didn't work especially well and really frustrated voters and candidates, the Justice Department said that proportional voting somehow ensured that there would be, quote, minority representation. Whereas in New York City, since at this particular point, this is a situation where the so-called minority has become the majority, I mean, that particular point is really moot. I mean, you don't need proportional voting to go ahead and deal with that. And I think that the two things don't necessarily always work together. We've had a number of phone calls already. People have been calling. I guess we should open the lines for a little while. The number here is 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. We're talking about the issue of bylaws and elections as they impact WBAI and Pacifica. Now, the election and the election process, is there at this particular point any time when elections need to be held in order for, both BAI and Pacifica to be democratically empowered? I mean, are there any dates at this particular point set or any process by which the dates need to be set so people can get ready for this particular process?
I believe that the elections probably will begin, that is the campaign process, toward the end of February, with, I think, a three-month period for campaigning. And I think, I believe we're going to try to have the elections by June 2003. because we've been having, this struggle with respect to the actual process of the elections themselves, as it will be agreed upon within the bylaws, that date, those dates or that timeline may currently be in a state of flux. And so there's supposed to be interim Pacifica National Board meeting on the 31st of this month, January. And then there's another one being planned, I believe, if I'm right, in March. I may be wrong about that second one. Idea being that we will resolve this struggle that currently exists within the context of the labs coming to agreement on what would be the election process itself. And I would say that it's still in a significant state of formulation, that is to say, there's still a great deal of a great deal of varied views around that, not just simply within. I don't necessarily believe that there's and this comes from our discussions and dialogue with board members from all over the Pacifica Network, that there is, in effect, a full unity within the context of this three lab formula, that is, say that three labs would agree on the election process, and that would then constitute an election process. That from the last Pacifica National Board meeting, which we had in Washington, D.C., there were issues that came out of that discussion that essentially represented, in our view, particularly here in the New York Signal area, as well as in D.C., and other parts of the country as well, significant problems with things that were resolved or alleged to be decided at that point with respect to the lab's agreement or unity on the question of a model. So that's still moving forward, and the labs are now in the process of discussing with one another around the country nationally to determine, to begin to thrash out all of the issues of concern, the labs themselves, not dictated by the national board per se, but the labs themselves are now under the responsibility to really sit down and even meet to try to resolve these issues ourselves. So that's the current status, I believe. Others may have some other different views with respect to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. We've got some listeners on the line. Let's see what the listeners are thinking in regards to this issue of bylaws and elections. WBAI, you're on the air. Good evening. Is that a cell phone?
Yes, it is.
Not only is it a cell phone, but go ahead, quickly.
Sorry?
Go ahead, quickly.
Yeah, we haven't explained what the constituent process is. And on bylaws like this, the devil is definitely in the details. You haven't said how the constituent people would elect board members or who exactly would get to vote and how that would be done.
Okay, we'll have someone go into that. Thank you for that call.
Thank you.
Well, first, we see the constituents. I think Christian talked about prisoners as being one of the mission constituents. That is the constituents communities that we see within the constituency model. We see labor, organized and unorganized labor, as being another constituency. Disabled as another constituency. And the various nationalities within our demographic area here in the BAI listening area would constitute African ancestry. And African ancestry takes in the wide sweep, the panoramic sweep of people of African descent, Asians, Latinos, youth, Native Americans, gay, lesbian, transgender, station staff. We have another, and we also have Arabs and Muslims as well. I may have left one.
The women's group.
Excuse me, women. And so these are the broad headings of our mission constituencies, and the whole principle of these constituencies, the most democratic of the principles, is that of self-determination. That is, people within the communities themselves, activists, listeners, supporters of Pacifica, WBI, those who support the mission. That's why we call them mission constituencies, but they support the Pacifica mission. That they would be, that there would be direct outreach into their community for them to identify and through an election, nominate candidates, and through an election process would elect those candidates to the national board. Mm-hmm. Now, within the context of the constituency model, we saw that as being a primary process, that a primary foundation of the constituency model being the principle of self-determination. Within the context of the dynamic of discussion and discourse around consolidating a unified view nationally, there may be room for how we see that the elections taking place, whether the constituencies would elect their candidates per se that would then sit on the station board, or whether there would be a general election allowing everybody to participate in an election after, in fact, the communities of the constituencies select and nominate their candidates. So, again, these are some issues that are very important, because obviously the latter embodies the principle of self-determination in its entirety versus some partial form of self-determination. But we've had a lot of things thrown at us about technical problems, et cetera, et cetera. But here we have, again, we see that those who oppose the constituency model, in effect opposing, in our view, the broad expansion of the Pacifica listenership into the communities that historically have been involved, have produced programs, have been listeners the Pacifica Mission speaks for, is the voice for, etc. Except now we're talking about guaranteeing. And this, I think, is a critical difference between this and proportional representation. We're talking about guaranteeing that listeners, supporters of Pacifica from these communities get represented and get elected to the board. That it is a process of guaranteeing that, as opposed to happenstance, which may or may not occur depending upon your level of outreach. And we've had contradictions that have been a failure of outreach based on the proportional representation model, for example, in the KPFA, where you don't have any Asians sitting on the station board, so which in a community that has, I think, is 30-40% Asian. So here we go again.
Now, how would a constituency elect their representative? You know, for instance, let's say I determine I want to run as an African. So I'm running. I'm a candidate. How do I get elected, and who can vote for me?
Somebody else want to go with that?
First of all, you have to go to your community, and you have to have 50 signatures from your constituent group, stating that they are advocating your candidacy by these signatures. And then you will bring your signatures to some type of a caucus debate among everyone. And then from then on, your constituency also have to be registered with the WBAI, with the station, in order to vote for you.
And I think that also one of the main advantages of this process is that you have on-air debates within the different core constituencies being represented here, where candidates have the opportunity to actually on the air debate some of these issues and tell people why they seek to represent them. And then you have not only the symbiosis between mobilizing communities and involving communities in as listeners, subscribers of the station, but you also have the bringing out of these issues on the air, which I think is part and parcel of the very core mission of BAI.
Mm-hmm. Let me also point out that everyone is included, even if you don't fall within a constituency. There is the at-large group that you could be part of, or a regional, that to bring you on board. So that way everyone is included and represented.
Definitely voters have a choice of how they want to cast their vote. They're not just limited to one particular constituency.
Okay. Let's see if we can take a few more phone calls before we run out of time. WBAI, you're in the air. Good evening.
Hi. I think when you were discussing...
Okay. Cell phone.
I think when you were discussing the proposal that people could qualify for voting for the station by working, you're confused because you mentioned prisoners and you said they couldn't get down to the station and work. But there's no requirement that the work be done at the station. One good thing about that proposal is it suggests that every listener has something that they can contribute to the station, and it suggests that the station needs to be more creative about finding ways to make it possible for the listeners to make that contribution. On the other hand, one of the supporters of the constituency model Mimi Rosenberg said on the air that what the listener should do is just listen, and the constituency model would preserve that and allow other people to run the station. So I think that a model that says listeners should just listen is exactly the wrong idea. WBAI needs to be open to its listeners. It needs to find more ways to make the listeners involved. The people who are running the constituency model suggest that they are representing certain values of inclusivity, but many of them actually are representing the values of keeping a relatively small number of people in control of the direction of the station.
Can I respond to that, Bashir?
Sure.
See, that comment really is typical of the atmosphere of and the spirit that we find bubbling throughout this debate. For one thing, that is such a terrible distortion of what Mimi, and anybody who listens to Mimi Rosenberg's program and understands her politics would understand that for her to try to be accused of trying to have the listeners adopt some kind of passive attitude and some elite run the station is so contrary to everything she stands for. The fact of the matter is, we in the constituency model are trying to expand the base of people participating in elections. I have a number of times cited the fact that according to the model, the KPFA model, which this gentleman who just called is upholding, only between 1 and 2% of the listeners will be able to vote, because there is an estimated 200,000 listeners, and there are only going to be about 5,000, at most probably 4,000 people who will be able to cast a vote, because the subscribers constitute only 20,000 people, and of the subscribers, historically, only about 15% actually take part in elections. When you boil all that down, it means that the overwhelming majority of listeners are simply shut out of the process. Beyond that, we have been accused of trying to control something. And actually, by listing something like 16 constituencies, all of whom are independent, we ensure, and all of whom would be nominating their candidates and voting for their own constituency, it virtually ensures that nobody would be able to control, manipulate that process. And the fact remains that because we have called for self-determination, because we said that, for example, the gay community should vote for their own candidate to sit on the board and have a place at the table, and that people of African descent, white folks shouldn't be determining who will properly represent people in the African descent community, and so on and so forth. That because we say this, we're called divisive, separatist, and what we are actually trying to establish a real unity, a unity based on mutual respect, a unity that's based not on some kind of Eurocentric or middle-class rules that essentially freeze out the voice of the voiceless, but that brings everybody to the table. There's no way in the world that process can really be manipulated or controlled. And so, as I said at the very beginning, when you start talking about self-determination, particularly of peoples of color, something happens, even in progressive circles, within the European American community, some of these people believe that because they're progressive, that they have they automatically are free from any vestige of Eurocentrism or of any kind of paternalistic attitudes. And unfortunately, these attitudes do exist. We see them all the time circulating in the emails and in discussions and meetings. And we see them also in the greater movement at large. And so we believe that this struggle is extremely important, not only in terms of the future of Pacifica, but we think that this struggle is worth all the energy
that we're putting into it, because it has an enormous impact on the future of the progressive movement as a whole, because these same principles need to be applied to the movement as a whole.
Well, as we recognize we would do, and as we always do, we've run out of time. We are, at this particular point, almost over time, and what we're going to have to do is see when and how we can do this again. We may have to go ahead and do something that we've done on Thursdays and combine a few programs to go ahead and fully explore this issue.
I think so.
We're going to have to do something, and we had the board was lit up. There were bunches of callers who wanted to get on and say something. And, of course, we were not able to do that now. But first, I'd like to thank you, Joe Kay, Muntu Matsumela, Margaret Dominique, and Christian Lemoyne, as far as coming on the program and beginning the discussion of the bylaws and election process for some people, some listeners who may not know anything about it. Thank you.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you.
Well, in the background, we've got Professor X, who happens to be the son of Sonny Carson, performing something called Close the Crack House. And we dedicate this to the memory of Abubadika Sonny Carson. Of course, brother, wherever you are, we definitely remember you. One quick announcement, and that is, on this Sunday, the Heritage Sunday Ministries of the African Poetry Theater will present an African Leadership